You know, when somebody first starts in worship and praising and so forth, and they haven't learned the crossover. They haven't learned to surrender yet. They haven't learned how to really worship God. And I believe that's one of the things that lacks in the body of Christ is people need to be taught how to worship the Lord and cross over. It's vital. Because when you cross over, oil's released. When you cross over, wine's released. And you become joyful and drunk. And the price you must pay is to deny yourself and fight to cross over. You know, people, like I said before, people go, they have a saying, they go to shop till they drop. Well, you're to worship till you drop. Amen? You're showing God how much you are grateful. It's the greatest thing you can say thank you is to worship Him. And the Word says the Father seeks those who worship Him in truth and spirit. Amen? Those who worship Him in truth and spirit. And like I said, there's not enough that worship Him in truth and spirit. You might as well give Him a hymn book. Oh, hallelujah. Where are we going, Papa? 2 Timothy 3, please. Second Timothy 3, verse 1, let's speak it. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Are we in the last days? You know, there's something very powerful because he says, know this. In other words, pay attention. This is a sign of the last days. That perilous times will come. If perilous times come, it's called a prophetic marker. Everyone, no, say it, prophetic marker. God sends out prophetic markers to set things so that we can grab hold of them and move. No, what is it? It's something that has been prophesied or recycled to fulfill God's purpose. And they're markers. And some of them are beginning markers and some of them are end markers. Hallelujah. Let's go a little further. For men will be lovers of themselves. Well, we see that. Man, I've never seen so many selfies in my life. I go to the gym. It's pretty disgusting. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control. Brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now here's the kicker. They have a form of godliness, but they deny His power. So they're pretenders. They're generic. They're not true. They're not genuine. Amen? For this sort are those who creep into households, ministries, and businesses, make captives of gullible men, women, and loaded down with sins and led away with various lusts. Lust, in other words, they've been taken captive, living under satanic torment. S-U-T, lust. They're always learning, but they never can come to the knowledge of the truth. In other words, they can't get free. They can't get free. Now, Jannes and Jabez resisted Moses. So did these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds or thoughts. They're disapproved concerning the faith. Disapproved concerning the faith. So they're really not walking in faith. They're walking in all words. You hear people speak it, but they can't walk it, right? Amen. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. Again, these are last days, perilous times. These are prophetic markers. People are living under satanic torment, lust, excelling in every area of wickedness. Matthew 24, verse 3. And as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things will be and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age. What were they were asking for? What? A prophetic marker. Amen? And Jesus answered them, let me tell you something. Take heed no one deceives you. For many will come in my name saying, I am a Christian. I am the Christ. And will deceive many. You know, there are so-called Christians that are actually Luciferians. And they proclaim to be Christians, and they'll even tell you that Jesus came in the flesh, but they're Luciferians because they lie. They're Luciferians. The devil's a what? Liar. He's the father of what? All lies. Believe me, I've come across them. And they can speak in a tongue, but it's not the right tongue. And they'll proclaim Jesus, and they'll even read the Bible and tell quote scripture to you. But they're witches. Some of them are shapeshifters. Hallelujah. And it says, and they will deceive many, and they have, and they are, and they're still doing it. And you will hear wars and rumors of wars. Is that happening now? These are all, what? Prophetic markers, aren't they? And what are they prophetic markers of? His coming and the end of the age. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. Is that happening? I don't know if you've seen what's going on in Mecca and the cube that they worship and walk around that thing. Locusts, grasshoppers, tornadoes. Floods. People are getting thrown all over the place. It's amazing to me that they haven't got it yet. You know, it's the same thing that happened with what? Pharaoh in Egypt. Same plagues that are happening then is happening now there. What's God doing? Wakening, shaking, letting them know. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and attempt to kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Is that happening now? I mean, come on, the hatred for people. And they're creating hatred. They're creating these things. The powers of darkness are creating these. They're creating racism and all this other stuff. It says that many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, which is happening. You can just go on the website, and there's a lot of false prophets up there. There's a lot of false teachers that are being exposed, preachers, mega churches that are being exposed now. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved. And all this gospel, the kingdom, will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. So again, we see that these are all prophetic markers, aren't they? Should we pay attention to prophetic markers? Yeah. Are the feasts of the Lord prophetic markers? Amen. Everything revolves around the feast of the Lord and the tabernacle. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. Then God said what? Come on over. Come out. Have a nice day. No, he said, let there be, which does not mean create. When the word says let there be, it means he's restoring something. Then God said, let there be what? Lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and for years. What are these? Prophetic what? Markers. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. So these were prophetic markers. Amen. Then God made two great lights. and the greater light to rule the day, and a lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. These were three prophetic markers. Very important. Because the sun represents a calendar. The moon represents a calendar. And the stars represent a calendar. We got the Hebrew calendar, don't we, and the Gregorian calendar. Amen? Then God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God said it was good. So the evening and the morning were the what day? Fourth day. Four prophetically means door. It means what? Door. Like open door. So what God was saying here is I've got prophetic markers that's going to open doors of revelation. Amen? Open doors. Oh, hallelujah. The fourth day, open door. It means for open door. God speaks. When he speaks through the sun, right? We'll talk about this. It's to nations. It's called a Gregorian or something like that calendar. When he speaks through the moon, if you know, it's Hebrew, Israel, or the bride. Because if you notice that God always talks about the moon on the full moon or on this moon or that moon. He never talks about on the sun. Amen. Because when he's talking about the moon, he's talking to his covenant, Israel and the bride. And when he speaks through stars, he's talking to the children of covenant. In other words, constellations. Amen? A constellation associated with stars? Yes. Is it a message? It's the message of Jesus' birth and death, resurrection, and coming to become king. The 12 constellations, 12 meaning government. Are there 3, 4s, and 12? Now remember, we talked about 2024, which we're going to talk about. It's actually, in Hebrew, the year 5784. 2024 is 5784. We'll talk about the number. But we talked about 2023. It was a time of crossover. It was the year of crossover. 2024 is the year of what? Release. Why? Because of what? Open doors. Let's go to Psalm 19. Verse 1, let's go through it. The heavens declare the glory of God. Does he speak from the heavens? Yes. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto night utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the S-U-N, sun, but it also represents the S-O-N, amen, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run his race. Its rising is from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other end of heaven, and there is nothing hidden from his heat or in from his presence, nothing hidden. Stars to the children and nations of influence. These are all prophetic markers that we're to acknowledge. But look, if you're not filled with the Spirit, if you're not alert, if you're not consistent, you will miss these. He says, my people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. Let's go to somewhere else for a minute. Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream visions, and your young men shall see, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see what? Visions. So we know that these are prophetic markers, dreams, visions, prophecy. They set things in course by God Almighty. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. These are where cause prophetic marker. You praying in the spirit can cause you to see a prophetic marker. Why? Because it's revelation is released from God so that you can see a prophetic marker. That's why it's so important about praying in tongues. I think it's the most important gift, besides the gift of salvation, Jesus, that you and I could have. And you can't mess it up. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 17, please. Verse 22. It says, and Paul stood in the midst of Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all these you are very religious. And all these things, why they were worshiping all kinds of stuff. For I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship. I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings. Those are prophetic markers. So that they should seek the Lord in hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone or something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to what? Repent. Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Hallelujah. Pre-appointed times and boundaries are prophetic markers. In other words, things to come. Revelation 4:1. After these things I looked, and behold a what? Door. Standing open in heaven. What chapter? 4. Hello. And the first voice which I had heard from was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was what? In the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and the one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and sardius stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightning and thundering and voices. 7 lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were 4 living creatures full of eyes in front and back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature was like a calf. The third living creature was like the face of a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The 4 living creatures, each having 6 wings, were full of eyes around and within. They did not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. to cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Number four, open doors. Open doors. Amen? See, in other words, an open standing door, he was invited. There is prophetic markers and there's prophetic requirements that qualify us for certain things. In 2024, which is the year of release, but again, that the prophetic Hebrew number is 5784. So I want to talk about the last two numbers, which is 84. Eight meaning new beginning, four meaning open doors. Everybody see it? It's a new beginning of what? Open doors. Hallelujah. And in this, God is requiring that we be qualified. In other words, he just doesn't allow anyone in certain areas. Amen? You are qualified for those areas to access. In fact, you are qualified to receive a key to your storehouse. He will not give you a key to your own storehouse that has your name on it if you don't fulfill the requirements. There is a price to pay for access, no matter what it is. Hallelujah. That's why it tells us to be consistent and be alert, because the adversary is seeking whom he can devour, right? Well, if you're not alert and consistent, you're going to get devoured. Romans 8, verse 1. You know, God is doing and going to do tremendous things. And he's, how can I say? I don't want to say warning, but he is warning. And he's preparing us to get qualified so we access these things. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So if you're walking according to the flesh, there's condemnation. That means you ain't qualified. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of the sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned it, sin in the flesh. That the righteous what? Requirement, hello, the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the what? Spirit. So if you're walking according to the flesh, oh, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, I tithe, I do this, I do that, but you're still touching unclean things. You're still not right. You're not qualified. You're not fulfilling the requirements. Remember, the word grace doesn't give you unmerited favor. The word grace means God's plan of escape. If you're not cooperating with grace, you ain't escaping. It's that simple. That's what that tradition of religion, that false tradition of religion done by the Luciferians, once saved, always saved, isn't true. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Again, verse 5, for those living according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded or thinking is death, and to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know, many people, everybody knows somebody in here that claims to be a Christian, but they walk in the flesh. They're disqualified for every good work. And they live by their works. Amen? Because the carnal mind is hatred against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So the carnal mind can never be converted. The soul gets converted, not the mind. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Thank God we got the mind of Christ. Amen? It's called the pure mind. That's why Paul said, stir up the pure mind. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his.
Wow.
Christ is the eternal power and presence of God Almighty. Amen? So there's a righteous requirement for qualification. You and I must be fighters for his presence. When you cross over, you ain't earned God's trust. That's another, okay, good, okay, good. What does it say? He says he tests the hearts and the minds or the thoughts of man. He tests us to see if we're qualified. We are tested in everything. We're tested in our faithfulness. We're tested even in our weaknesses. We're tested in our strengths. We're tested in our finances. We're tested in our attitudes. We're tested in our intentions, especially. That's where God really tests us. What's your intention? You know? Hallelujah. Psalm 24, please. These are prophetic requirements. Those who are listening to this teaching tonight, if you're shacked up together, living in fornication, you better tighten up. Better get things right. Or you're going to miss it. You never know when the Lord's going to come and take you home. The problem is if you're in that condition, you ain't going home. Verse 1, Psalm 24. Hallelujah. Let's speak it. The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, and the world and those who dwell in therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the holy hill of God, or who may stand in his presence? Amen? In his holy presence. In other words, who can access him? Here's the requirement. He who has what? Clean hands. A pure heart. Who's not lifted up his soul to an idol. Boy, people don't even realize how many idols they have. They don't realize it. See, if you can't walk away from something, it's an idol. Hello? But I'm married. If you can't walk away from something, it's an idol. If God calls you to walk away from something, you walk away. Or it's an idol. Amen? Now, God would never interrupt himself or cause sin, would he? But think about the disciples. When Jesus showed up, they dropped everything, didn't they? They dropped their nets, they dropped everything and followed him. They left their families, they left their businesses, they left everything and followed him. But he called them to do that. Amen? But see, you've got to be able to drop everything to follow him, or it's considered an idol. So then you have to have a mindset that you don't own nothing. You're just a steward of everything. Does everybody get it? We're a steward of the clothes we have. We're a steward of all our homes, possessions, currencies, whatever. We're just stewards of it. It's not ours. It's his. Hallelujah. For he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord. Whoa! Praise God. Look at that requirement. Look what the reward is. And righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Clean hands and a pure heart, no idols, no deceit, worshipers that cross over. You know, we talk about prophetic markers. Think about this. Enoch was a prophetic marker. Why? He was born in the seventh generation. Jesus came in the 77th generation. Prophetic marker. Now, two of the same means witness. Amen? So he came as a witness to complete. and fulfill is number 7. Prophetic requirements and prophetic markers. You know, it doesn't mean we won't make mistakes, amen? But when you make a mistake, you repent quickly, that's all. Sorry, Lord. It's like stepping on somebody's foot. Sorry. Whoops, let's keep going. But don't repeat it. That's not sorry. Deuteronomy 11, verse 13. And it shall be that if you're earnestly obey. Oh, is obedience a prophetic requirement? Come on, somebody say it. Yeah. It shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all of your heart and with all of your soul, then I will give you the rain for your land in the seasons, and early rain for and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. Hallelujah. That's a reward for what? Obedience. It's in other words, a prophetic requirement for God to release something to us. That's why the word says, after you completed the assignment or the will of God, God releases the promise. Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you also abounds toward each other. So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all of your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted what? Worthy. In other words, did they meet the prophetic requirement to be considered worthy? Yes. Worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in the flaming fire, taking vengeance on all those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Worthy. Prophetic qualifications to access open doors of glory. Remember, God gives us keys to the storehouses, right? Well, you earn those keys. Everything is earned. There's a price to pay for everything. And then you got to fight to get to the door. Just because you have a key, it doesn't mean, oh, I'm just going to go up and open it up. Man, you don't know what storm you're going to hit on the way there. Why warfare is essential. If you're not one who's in warfare, then you become a casualty. And they become casualties of war. Why? Because they're not in warfare. They don't know how to warfare. That's why we have the Warrior's Handbook. Kick some butt. Psalm 37, verse 1, let's speak it. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Are these requirements? Yes. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as a light and your justice as a noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. And do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, and do not fret. It only causes harm. Hallelujah. In other words, trust, dwell, feed, delight, commit, rest, wait patiently, cease from anger and anxiousness. These are prophetic requirements to access the open doors. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Is that a requirement? You want your path directed? He just showed you how. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Oh, don't despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights. Oh, hallelujah. Trust. These are prophetic requirements. Amen? And I'm going to close at 2 Peter chapter 3. Prophetic markers that guide, tell us things, get ready, amen, warnings. And then we have prophetic requirements that grant, that allow us access to the storehouses. Verse 14, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to him be glory, both now and forever and ever and ever and ever. And everybody said amen. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your word, for the prophetic markers and the prophetic requirements that we may have, that we may be led and that we may have access in this time, knowing that you're about to release a tremendous overflow of provision, of strategy, and weaponry that we may kick butt on the enemy. We thank you, Lord, for the aggressive anointing that's being released so that we may go forward being filled with new wine and oil for your glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.